Yesterday we left off in the middle of our sentence when we ran down to Mincha. What were we talking about? I forgot already. Yes, we were talking about the Gemara establishes, and we're learning Perek Olabasa, Kuf Yedal on the base. So we started from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Basa B'chalav is not only also B'vishal, as it says in the Chumash in Torah Shevel Sa'av, it's also B'achil and it's also B'ano. So Rabashi had a whole Yalfusa. How do you know that it's also b'achila? Then Gemara, how do you know it's also b'ano? Gemara quotes the memra of Rabbi Abohu, Amar Rabbi Abohu, Amar Rabbi Loza, which, based on the simple reading of the Gemara, only works out according to Rabbi Meir. If you all like Rabbi Yudah, it should really not work out, and that was a problem with the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Abohu. Called Mochem Shinemar Lo Yechusachol Lo Yochel Lo Yechusachol Lo Yechusachol Echad Yisra Achila Echad Yisra Hanoa, and the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yudah against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yudah Loch Rabbi Yudah. The Paskins like Rabbi Yudah. So that's a problem, okay, with the Rambam. How does he adopt Rabbi Abohu Shita if it's all based on Rabbi Meir and we don't pass like Rabbi Meir? What was the Makar according to Rabbi Meir? Where do you see in the Pasuk that Nevela, Ashir Felach HaKosuk, Kedar Shech Par Lachab Ben Nevela? Where does it say in the Pasuk that Nevela is Mutamano? Where does it say? That's what the whole Pasuk says. Agir Hashem Ashrech HaTinad HaVachala HaMochal HaNochri. He says you can sell it to a Nochri and get money from it, or you give it as a Matana to a Ger Toshav, and the Ger Toshav is going to repay the Toiva sometime in the future. It can't be my Shabbos goy, like my next day, because the Ger Toshav is an Issa Deraisa of Amir Eliakim. That's an Aseres Adibris, but he'll do other Toivas. He'll do me other Toivas in exchange. So because it's going to be Maka Toiva, so giving these, if it would have been Asa Bano, giving these Sirah Anot to the Nochri, that's going to be Maka Toiva, give me back something in exchange, that's considered getting Anot. So that's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. So we said that there is a minority of opinion in the Rishonim, quoted by the Shita Lo No Delemi and Kiddushin and Daf Nun Vav Hem Beis, and quoted by the Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah in the beginning of the last Perek and the Chasam Seif and the Tshuvas. There is an opinion that selling Yisurei Hanor and getting paid money is a form of Yisurei Hanor. That's only Midi Rabbanon. On the level of the Raisa Yisurei Hanor, when something is awesome Hanor, you're not allowed to get Hanor. It's only Hanor from the Guf HaDover. The Tzvo Abo, if I'm using a die, the Gemara says that Orlo, Baraltim Allah says Pirish Alfam Arelim, it says three times Arelim. So the Gemara says in Psochim, in the Sugim, the beginning of the second parak, the Gemara goes to a lot of Yisuri Achila, which of them are Osabano, which of them are not Osabano. So the Gemara says Orlo is Osabano. So the Gemara says, why? Because it says three times Baraltim Allah say Arelim Yulachem, three times. So one is Shaloy Yitzababo. You're not allowed to use the dye from the Orlo fruits to dye clothing. If you have wool, you're not allowed to dye the wool with the pigment that you got from the orla fruits. So that's getting hand off in the Guf HaDover. Or you're going to take shemen, that's also b'ano, and you're going to light it. So it's lahadlik bo. That's or to shmir on the bottom to do to shmir on the body to do sicha. So if the thing is also b'ano, he's getting hand off in the Guf HaDover. But if I sell it to a nochri and he pays me money for it, so we paskan that that's a violation of yisurei hanor minatur. And there's a minority opinion that that's not minatur. That's only the rabbanon. That's called Gram Hanor. The only time it's also Hanor is I get Hanor directly from the Guf HaDover itself. Gram Hanor is Aitig Hanor, that's only the Rabban. So that's where we left off. So what is Rabbi Boaz Yalfusa from the Pasuk? It says, Achiv HaLach HaKosuv Kedarach Shekpar Lecha Ben Nevela. Where does it say by Nevela that it's Mutab Hanor? Even if it would have been Basa B'Cholav, even if it would be Orla, that it's also Hanor Min HaTorah, this is not a violation of Yisurei Hanor, to sell to Anochriya, to give to a Ger Toshav, and he's going to be Makat Toiva, going to do me back something in exchange. This is not Minatar, this is not a violation of Yisurei Hanor. So the Chasam Sofer, that's the Kasha that the Shita Lo No Delemi asked against this Pirush HaRam. We don't know who wrote the Shita Lo No Delemi, we don't know who the Ram is, but the Ram, Ran in the last parak in Avodah Zarah, the Ran on the Rif, quotes this in the name of the Ramban, if this is what he means. A little unclear. If that's what the Ramban means, and maybe this Shita Lo No Delemi is written by one of the students of the Ramban. Maybe the Ram that he quotes is the Ramban. Whatever. So this is the Kasha that the Shita Lo No Delemi. So yesterday, I think that's where we left off, that the Chasam Sofer said that the Teretz is the Gemara is learning out from the Pasuk that it's Mutmano from the usage of the verb Mochor or Titneno Lo Nochri or Mochor Lo Nochri. If it would have been Asa B'Hano, so the Kinyan wouldn't be Chal. It wouldn't be able to be Makna. Why not? So that's what we were discussing briefly, that the Mishnah says in the end of the second Perek in Kiddushin, that if you're Mekadosh and Isha, but the Yisurei Hanor, the Kiddushin are not Chal. So there were three explanations that the Rishonim gave. So many Rishonim say that is Sirah Hanoah, not Shaloh. Many Rishonim say, no, it's Shaloh, but it's not Bishuso. And others say, no, it is Shaloh, it is Bishuso, but it's not Shavah Pruta. So if you say the first or the second Pshat, Dein Shaloh, Rein Bishuso, so we understand why you cannot be Maknet. So we understand what the Raya is from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Titnena, Lagerish HaShecha Titnena O Mocher. So the fact that the Pasuk uses those verbs, that's an indication that it's Muta Bahanoah. That's the right, that is mutamano. Okay. So maybe that's the pshat. What about, so that's one machlokes. If I sell Isuri Hanoah and I get paid money for it, that's clear that that's an Isur, that's a violation of Isuri Hanoah. But according to this minority opinion, we don't accept that opinion. According to this minority opinion, that's only considered a violation of the Rabbana. That's not a violation in Atoira of Isuri Hanoah. Then there's a further discussion. There's a Sefer Chelkos Yoyev that was written 100 years ago. He was very close to the Avnei Nezer. He has a lot of correspondence with the Avnei Nezer. Chelkos Yoyev is also a Chassidus Rebbe. So the Chelkos Yoyev has a discussion on the following topic. There is a Mishnah at the beginning of the last perek in Maseches Avodah Zarah. In the days of the Tanoim, Avodah Zarah was also Banuah, and the four Isurim in Avodah Zarah. Some of it will come up in Chulin and other parts of Chulin. Avodah Zarah, the actual Getchke itself, is Asur Banuah. Let's say there's a totem pole that the Indians worship. So if they deify that, they feel that that's the deity, so that thing becomes Asur Banuah. Even though it's a joke, we know, you know and I know, we all know, maybe they also know, that it's not the deity. But if they worship that, if they think that's a deity, so that's considered Avodah Zarah, it's Asur Banuah. Then there's a din that Noye Avodah Zarah Asmano. Let's say they worship the statue. And then they put on tachshit, and they put on earrings, and they put on dress, and they put on a necklace, and they put on a shetel on top of this statuette that they worship. But they don't worship the Noye Avodah Zarah, they worship the statue. So that's another pasuk. Kesed Zav Aleim Alakach Taloch. It says, even the Noye Avodah Zarah are also Asmano. Then there's a din that the Tekrubis Avodah Zarah is Asmano. If you, let's say, you shech the carbon for the Avodah Zarah, so that becomes Asur Banuah, that's the Tekruvus. Then there's a fourth din, that Mishamshi Avodah Zarah are Asur Banuah. Let's say the knife that they always use, Miyuchud, to shech carbonus for the Avodah Zarah. Or you have a frying pan where they burn incense for the Avodah Zarah. They have an altar with a makriv carbonus for the Avodah Zarah. So these are Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. So that's learned out from another pasuk. Each one is another pasuk. So there are four different dinim in Isuri Hanoah. The difference is lahalacha between them. It's important to know: is it tekruvus avodah zara? Then it has no bitl ilamis. But if it's avodah zara or noy avodah zara or mishamshi avodah zara, then it does have bitl. Bitl means you'll get a goy will declare, I don't believe in this avodah zara. I believe not avodah zara. He doesn't believe in any god. He's an atheist, whatever. But he says, I don't believe in this avodah zara. So that, even though the thing until now was awesome, I know, let's say there's a goy who worships the tape recorder. I'm shugana. Another guy says he's crazy. The table is a deity. The tape recorder is not the deity. So as crazy as he is, whatever, but he can be mevatli avodah zarah. So even though this was awesome until today, but if you get a nochri to state that I don't believe that that's avodah zarah, so that takes off the yisano. So that's true by avodah zarah, by mishamshi avodah zarah, and by noye avodah zarah. By tikrubis avodah zarah has no bitl. Once it's offered as tikrubis. The Kruvus Avodah Zarah is also mana because of its past history. Al Masheniken Avodah Zarah, or Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, or Noy Avodah Zarah is also because of its present status. It is right now an Avodah Zarah. So if you get a Nochri to Mim of Atlas, and then it's no longer an Avodah Zarah. So let's say by our neighbors, that they by the Notzrim, that they believe in transubstantiation. They use a bottle of wine, and they use a wafer, and they do their hocus pocus, and then they declare that the wafer has not converted into the flesh of Oso Ish, and the wine has not converted to become the blood. So this is the flesh and blood of Yashke. So the Acharonim say, look in the Darkei Teshuva in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So he says, usually we used to think in wine. Wine is tekruvus, because you pour the wine in front of the Avodah Zarah. He says, but not the wine in the churches by the Christians. That wine is the Avodah Zarah itself. Because that's ridiculous. The whole Avodah Zarah is ridiculous. All Avodah Zarah is ridiculous. And if a Nochri worships the tape recorder, that's less ridiculous. Also ridiculous. So if the Nochri feels that this is the deity, so this becomes Asur Banuah. If it's his, we have a lot of details. So the same over here, according to their Emunah, according to their foolish Emunah, They believe that the wine now becomes the blood of Yoshke, and the wafer now becomes the flesh of Yoshke. So if they believe that this is their deity, so then it becomes Mamash Avodah Zarah, has a kula. If it would have been Yayin Nesach, so Yayin Nesach is like the Kruvis, has no bit loylom. It's Mashenikain. If it's the Avodah Zarah, all you have to do is get another Nachri to say, I don't believe in it. So it becomes Mutta Bahano. Yeah.
If you can get a Nachri and you never believed in Avodah Zarah,
You'll get two different ways from two different Avodah Zarah. This one will say all of these churches are ridiculous, and this one will say all of these churches are ridiculous. It will now all year left, and all the Avodah Zarah in the world will disappear. You mean it won't be Asa Ba'ano until the next guy will worship it? This Nachri says I don't believe in that, but then another Nachri comes and he worships it, so it becomes again Avodah Zarah. You gotta get another Nachri to say I don't believe in it. Each time someone worships it, it becomes also Mano again. You have to get another Nachri to say, I don't believe in it, and that'll be Mavatlin. Good. Anachinami. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that David HaMelech, when he conquered all of the Nachri villages, so the din is that there's only Bitlan Avodah Zarah, calls Mana belongs to the Nachri. Once a Jew acquires ownership on the Avodah Zarah, has no longer any Bitl. So David HaMelech, before he would be interested, he wanted to take all the gold and silver and copper, all the valuable precious things, and use it for the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it says in Tanakh. He dedicated everything for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. So if the things would be Asa Bahano, so he can't use it at all. Asa Bahano, he can't even sell it to make money out of. It's Asa Bahano. So the Gemara interprets the Psukim in Navi that David HaMelech had a Nachri, a sidekick who was a Nachri. Ite Hagiti. The Gemara has a discussion about him. Was he a Gertosha? Was he a Goy Gomer? So the Gemara says, this Itai Hagiti, whenever they would conquer an area, so Itai Hagiti would say, I don't believe in this Avodah Zarah. It would become Mutta Bahano, then David HaMelech would grab it. Then he would acquire it. After he would acquire it, then it belonged to the Jews. So the Anochri can't answer it now. Nachri's going to worship it. Einan Amas Adav Hashem Shaloi. Okay, so we have the Dinim. So in the days of the Tanoim, Yayin Nesach was also Bahano. Bizman Azef, you have Yayin Nesach, it's also Asa Bahano. If someone pours wine, it's also Asa Bahano. But usually today, we don't deal with Yayin Nesach, we deal with Stam Yainim. So Stam Yainim in the days of the Tanaim was also Asa Bahano. The Mishnah is like that. Stam Yainim used to be Asa Bahano. And Bizman Azef, the Ramah says that we're Machmer, the Stam Yainim is Asa Bahano. But Mikra Din, we really paskin as Mutta Bahano today because of changed circumstances. So that's why if you have a Hefsid Merubis, so then we would be Mekel. The Ramah gives a case, let's say, the liquor shop owes me $20,000, and he goes bankrupt, and he has nothing to pay me back with. So he says he has $10,000 worth of Stam Yenam. And he says he's prepared to give it to me. Take it or leave it. That's all. That's all I'm going to get is the Stam Yenam. So it's the Hefsid Merubis. As it is, I'm losing money. He owes me $20,000. He only gives me $10,000 worth of Stam Yenam. So it's a Hefsid Merubah. So then the Ramah said, Makam Hefsid Merubah, we revert back to the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin today, if it's plain Stam Yenam from a plain layman, not from a Galah who's Boki Benisa, from a plain layman, so we pass the Ikar Adin, Bizman Azeh, the Stam Yenam would be Mutta Bahano. Well, let's go Bizman Atanoim. Bizman Atanoim, that the Nochem were the king Benisa, they knew what they were doing when they would be worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the Stam Yenam of such a Nachri would be Asa Bahano. So the Mishnah says a Jew needs a parnasa. He doesn't want to live off of charity. So his parnasa is he's a truck driver. What does he deliver? He delivers Stam Yenam. They pay him for delivering Stam Yenam. They wouldn't pay him money to drive an empty truck. After he delivers it, then he has to drive the truck back. Okay. So that's part of his job, to deliver and then to come back with the empty truck. But to drive an empty truck there and come back with an empty truck, they're not going to pay him. So they only pay him the salary if he delivers the Stam Yenam. Or let's say he delivers Basa B'Cholav sandwiches. He delivers Orla, Claire, Karen, whatever. He has a big truck and they load on. The Nochrim have Paris that are growing that are Orla, Claire, Karen. And they ask him, drive the truck from New York to Florida. We'll pay you so much money. They're not going to pay him for driving an empty truck. They're going to pay him money for driving a truck that has Isuri Hano. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to get salaried to deliver Isuri Hano, because that's called getting Hano from Isuri Hano. That's a little indirect. No? You see, if I sell the Basa B'Cholav and I get paid money for it, so that's Aser, but that was a Machlekes, whether that's their Isa or their Abana. So Rav Arishanim hold that that's their Isa. And we have this Shita, the Shita Saramban, or the Shita Lanadami, whatever, some There's a minority opinion that that's only the Rabbanan, and we accept La Halacha that that's an Issa Derais. But this is even further than that. This is not even Zetach Hazeh. I'm getting paid for doing work on Isuri Hanoah. I'm delivering the merchandise to another location. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it. Let's say a person is a waiter in a trefer restaurant, and he has to serve the meals. So he gets paid money for serving the meals. Part of the meals that he serves, Stam Yenam. So B'mokim Hefzib Merubah, we paskin that the Stam Yenam is man as mutabano. But Shaloi B'mokim Hefzib Merubah, the Chatril we hold that it's also b'ano. Or let's say, so there are nurses in the hospitals have to deliver the food to the patients. Some of them, that's their whole job, is to deliver the food. So a lot of times the food that they're delivering is Isuri Hanoah. So to get paid a salary for doing a pa'ula with Isuri Hanoah is considered getting Hanoah from Isuri Hanoah. So that's the deal that the Chalkas Yoyev has. Is that also an Issa Deraisa? The way we assume that selling Isuri Hanoah and getting paid a salary, is that, we assume that that's Deraisa, and it's not only Gram Hanoah, so is this also an Issa Hanoah Deraisa? Or maybe this is already 2-4. Maybe this is only called Gram Hanoah. It's Aser, the Mishnah says it's Aser. Maybe it's only an Issa Derabon. So that's the Chalkas Yoyev fishes around Shas to try to establish whether that's an Issa Deraisa and Issa Derabon. Doesn't make that much of a difference. It's Aser Manoah, it's Aser Manoah. You're not allowed to do it. It'll happen after Minach, basically. Shas Hatrak, if it's really an Issa Deraisa, so you don't look for kulis. If it's only an Issa Derabanan, so sometimes you can rely on shitas where there's room to be mekel. So that's a diyun in the Chalkas Yoyev. Would that be an Issa Derais or an Issa Derabanan?
Does he come out with the answer?
I think he quotes different rayas. Got to take a look. I don't remember his maskana. He discusses a kasha that was discussed by Rabbi Akiva Eigman and the Chasam Sofer before him. We have a din, a mace is also b'hanor, dead body, Jewish dead body, mace Yisroel. The pasuk says that when Miriam died, batama shamayim vatikava sham. So the Gemara says that the word sham, batama shamayim vatikava sham, the word sham is derived, the gzereshav is sham sham egla rufa, v'egla rufa, it says, v'yofer sham es egla banochal. So just like Egla Rufa is also Banoah, so Tomeis is also Banoah. How do you know Egla Rufa is also Banoah? So the Gemara says, because the Kohanim have to say, Kapil Am Chesol Shepadis Hashem, Kaparik Sivba Kikotchim. So that's how you know that Egla Rufa is also Banoah. Egla Rufa is not a carbon. It's Chulin Legamri, but since Kaparik Sivba Kikotchim, since they ask for Kapar, so just like Karbonus are also Banoah, so do we assume Egla Rufa is also Banoah? So the Gemara learns out from the Psukim that Meis is Asamanom. So that's a deal. The Pashtus is an only Meis Yisrael. Meis Yakum Amutabano. Ayin Shulchan Ochan says Meis Yakum Arosabano. So that's assumed to be a Chumer from the Rishonim. Based on the Gemara, it would appear that only Meis Yisrael. Because the Pasuk only says about Thomas and Miriam. Miriam was Jewish. Some Achrayim want to say maybe it should only be a Novi, Miriam Hanaviyah. Maybe only the body of a Novi is Asamano. Maybe a Hedyot is Mutabano. So they say that's a joke. You don't find al pidin a difference between a Novi and another Jew, but there are differences between Yehudim and Ochrim. So we assume that the Yisra Hanoah by Meis is only by Meis Yisod. Meis Yakum is Mutav Hanoah Mikir Adin. It's a Chumer from the Rishonim that's in Shulchan Aruch.
Rishonim hold that, there's a Rishonim that hold that Kibre Tzadikim, Arachim Matame, a person of calling can go Kibre Rachel, places like that. So we do see a difference with Meisim, according to some Rishonim, between.
Not Rishonim, Chassidish is far. It's not Rishonim. Ramban al Torah. That what? That Kibbutz Tzadik made him a Tamim? I don't know. I find it hard to believe. I'll take a look. Okay. But that's what we assume. That Meisim are Asamanot. So the Shaila is, if you drive a truck and you deliver Stam Yenim and you get paid a salary, that's called getting Hanor from Mr. Re'anor. So if you have a Jew who's salaried, a Jew from the Chevek Kadisha, and he's salaried to drive the dead bodies to the cemetery. So he's not allowed to get salary. You're paying him money. You don't pay him money if he drives an empty hearse. You only pay him money if he drives with the dead body. And then he should drive it back, the empty hearse, when he drives it back after he delivers it. But you're paying him money that he should deliver a mace, which is awesome or not. So this is a tumult that Rabbi Akiva and Chassam Sofer, in that generation, they tumulted a lot about that. That was the early 1800s. Rabbi Chalkos Yoav lived the late 1800s, so he discusses that topic as well. So how can he take a salary? So he... he wants to say a chiddush. He wants to say a chiddush that if I'm delivering stam yenom somewhere, what's the other fellow going to do with this stam? And he's going to drink it. So then I'm not allowed to get paid money for delivering the stam yenom, because the other people are either going to eat it or going to get hanor from it. But if I'm delivering a dead body, what are we going to do with the dead body? No one's going to eat it. No one's going to get an offer. I'm going to bury it. So since the end result is not going to lead up to anybody getting hanor, so there's nothing wrong with me getting a paying salary in order to deliver the dead body. That's what he thinks. That's questionable. That's his suggestion. That's the thrust of his whole essay. He tries to discuss whether it's deraisa or derabbanan. Then he tries to limit it. It should only apply in certain cases, not in other cases. That's a shaila. There is a din in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Re'eli maratesh mechukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem alakoy." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I taught you the whole Torah just as Hakadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to teach you the whole Torah." So that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Where's that pasuk? Beginning of Dvarim somewhere. No, Dvarim Vayeschanan. So that's the Pasha Pshad. I transmitted the Torah to you just as HaKadosh Baruch instructed me to transmit the Torah to you. Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. I taught you the Torah the same way the Rabbi Shalom taught me the Torah. Just like Mani Mechinam, Afata Mechinam. Just like when the Rabbi Shalom taught me in Har Sinai, he didn't charge me tuition. So too, when I taught you the Torah, I didn't charge you tuition either. What is he saying this for? That we should know that that's the din, that when we teach Torah to the next generation, you're not allowed to charge any tuition. A couple of years ago when they had the cardinals visiting the yeshiva, so they were asking Dr. Lim, how does the yeshiva work and everything? So he says, well, he didn't know what they wanted. So he said, well, we don't charge any tuition. So I said, why not? So he said, well, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, so God didn't charge him any tuition. So Moses said, I taught the Torah to the Jewish people without charging any tuition. So they all burst out into laughter. So he said, so how do you exist? How does this school exist? So he said, we make Malava Malkas. We make fundraising. They never heard of this. You have to fundraise, no tuition. So how do they pay a Rebbe? How do they pay anybody a salary? The Chassam Sofer has one of his tshuvas. One of the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer asked them, is he allowed to take a position as a Rav and take a salary? The din is you're not allowed to take salary for teaching Torah, for doing any mitzvahs. So the Chassam Sofer writes in his tshuva, you're asking me? You don't know that I'm salaried by the community. I'm a salaried rabbi. I don't do for not. Obviously, there's a heter. And he writes a whole tshuva, what the heter is based on the Gemara. So what is taka the heter? How is it, if one should assume it's permissible? So what is the heter? So the answer is, I teach for nothing. Yeshiva pays me schar batala. Yeshiva pays me not to take on another job. If I'll sit home and twiddle my thumbs, I'll go out of my mind. So out of the goodness of my heart, I come and I give shiurim. I enjoy giving shiurim, but they don't really pay me for teaching the Torah. I teach the Torah for nothing, and the schar that they pay is schar batala. Let's say this happens in the business world. Let's say I have a computer company, and the other computer company has a genius who's working for them, and he's gonna put me out of business. He's such a genius. He's going to figure out everything, the whole system that I have plus more. So I wanna hire him. So I wanna, but I don't need him to work for me. So I just pay him a salary every year that he shouldn't work for the competing company. And you can go fly around in Florida and go swimming all day long, do whatever you want, but just don't work for them. So that's called schar batala. I pay you not to do work for the other company. So there is such a concept. What does he do for a living? He twiddles his thumbs and he doesn't work for the competing company. That's called schar batala. So when you pay a person who's doing, the Gemara says not only for teaching Torah. The original pasuk is about teaching Torah. So the original pasuk talks about mani mechinam, afata mechinam, just like on Mount Sinai, the Rebbe Shalom didn't charge any tuition to Moses, so Moshe didn't charge tuition when he taught the Jewish people either. Okay? He made his money also from Lama Malkus, I guess. So the Gemara says it's not only about teaching Torah. The Gemara says it's about Hanotol Schar Lahazos Mei Paro. You have to be Maza Mei Paro Aduma. So you're not allowed to charge money to do any mitzvah that I'm obligated to do a mitzvah for you. Whenever I'm obligated to perform a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara says you're not allowed to charge money for Hashavas Aveda. It's not only in Limud HaTorah. Any case where I'm mechayiv to do a mitzvah. Let's say you want me to write a mezuzah for you. Why should I bother writing a mezuzah? Write your own mezuzah. You don't have to. It'll take you a year. So I have a right to charge money on that. That's what Rabbi Hirsch explains in his commentary on Chumash. If it's a mitzvah that you can do yourself, you want me to tie the tzitzis for you. I'll tie your own tzitzis. Why should I tie the tzitzis for you? You can do it yourself. You don't know how to do it, and you don't have the time. So I have a right to charge money for that. But if it's a mitzvah that you cannot do yourself, you need someone to be maza paraduma water on you. You can't do it. You need someone to testify in court, whatever, on your case. You're not allowed to take salary to testify, to tell the truth. Not shaykha, to testify, to tell the truth. Or let's say, a dayonim will take a salary to judge a case. You can't judge your own case. They're bringing you to a dentera. So you have to have a bezin judging the case. So you can't do it for yourself. So whenever one is obligated to perform a mitzvah on behalf of someone else that the other person simply can't do for himself. He can't do it on his own, so then you're not allowed to take any salary. So what's the din, let's say, burying a mace? Burying a mace is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to bury the mason. So Mustama, the guy who drives the hearse, the one who takes the dead body to the cemetery, someone is mukhiv to do it. It doesn't necessarily have to be him, but someone has to do it. So Mustama, he's bechlal not allowed to take any salary for that. So how does he take any salary? The answer is, what, he's going to drive people to the cemetery all day long? So he's going to stop? He's going to be doing mitzvahs all day long, he's going to stop. So he's entitled to get schar batola. So once he says he's getting schar batola, see, he's really getting paid money not to do any work at all. It's not that he's getting paid money to transport dead bodies. He's transporting dead bodies for nothing. That's out of the goodness of his heart. He's salaried not to take on another job, that he should be free all day long to be able to drive dead bodies to the cemetery. It's like a doctor. A doctor also, the Gemara says, a doctor is obligated to heal the patients is based on the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if there's a din of Hashavas Mamono, if he lost the nickel, Yavachiv, to do Hashavas Aveda, to give him back his nickel, so Kavachem Hashavas Gufa, if he doesn't have good health, you're obligated to help him back, restore his good health. So just like Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to charge salary. So the Ramban was a doctor. Ramban wrote a whole Torah Sa'odam. So a big section of the Torah Sodom is that doctors are not allowed to take any salary. So how do doctors take salary? So he says, just doctors are entitled to the same salary as the Rebbe's. The Rebbe's are entitled to the same salary as the doctors. However, they're both in the same boat. They're both doing a mitzvah for someone else that the other person cannot do on his own. I have a whole tradition of Torah Shema Pele. You don't have. So I can't say, you sit and read all the Svarim. You don't have the ability to do it. So I have an obligation to teach you the Torah. Just like the doctor went to medical school, so he has the obligation to heal the patient. You tell the patient, you go to medical school, you know, but he's sick today. He can't go to medical school and then take care of his... he can't take care of it in another 5 years. He needs a doctor's help right now. Just like by Hashavas Aveda, you're not allowed to charge money. So the doctor is also not allowed to charge money. He's allowed to charge. Schar batola. He's allowed to charge the patients. They should pay him that he shouldn't take on another job. And Memele, he's treating the patients for nothing. So there isn't really a problem. Let's say a doctor treats a Jewish patient on Shabbos. Is he allowed to take salary? So there's a discussion in the Chasam Sefer's Truvis. About the Chasam Sofer has a famous tshuva. It's in the end of Chelek Choshen Mishpat, where he has all the hashmatas, all the miscellaneous tshuvas and miscellaneous topics, nothing to do with Choshen Mishpat. He has the other tshuva about the frum, a doctor who used to sometimes go to treat nochrim. He would have a nochri drive him by horse and wagon, and would go chutz l'tchum, and the nochri would carry all of his things on Shabbos, and he would treat the patients. And someone was complaining that doctors are shegetz, he's machal Shabbos. So the Chasam Sofer explains everything is beher tegom. So then the Chasam Sofer discusses, well, what's the din? When he treats a nochri on Shabbos, how's he allowed to take the salary? He says, to treat the nochri for nothing, to take salary is an Nisa Schar Shabbos. To treat the Nocher for nothing is an Nisa Lo Sechonim. So what are you going to do? So he says, no, he should take the salary and he should give it to Tzedakah. So he won't be in violation of Schar Shabbos. Okay. So I think the Chasam Sofer's whole problem only was if the Jewish doctor is treating a Nochri on Shabbos, because there is no Chiyav HaShabbos Aveda by a Nochri. So to heal a Nochri, there is no din of Mani Mechinam Afata Mechinam. He is permitted to charge salary. He is permitted to charge money. So when he treats the Nochri on Shabbos, the money that the Nochri pays him is Takas Char Shabbos. But if he treats Jews on Shabbos, I don't think there is any problem. If the doctor treats Jews on Shabbos, of course they have to pay him the salary. They never, even if he treats the patient, Yiddish patients on weekdays, they're not paying him for treating them. He's not allowed to take schar. It's the chamitzvah, sachiyuv. Mani mechinam afatu chinam. The salary that they pay him is schar batole. It's all year long. We all want, let's say there are Jews in Singapore. They don't need a doctor in Teaneck. They don't need a doctor in New York. The Jews in New York who use this doctor, we need this doctor. So this doctor has, let's say, 500 patients. I have no idea, 1,000 patients. So the 1,000 patients all get together and we say, we want this doctor not to go into business. He's a genius. We don't want him to go into another field. Going to go into another field, he's not going to be able to treat us. We want him to retire from all the other activities. We pay him schar batola that he should sit home and have free time. And in his free time, now he's mechuyav to treat us for nothing. So when the doctor heals the Jewish patients on Shabbos, he's not taking Schar Shabbos. He's taking Schar Batola for not taking a job all year long. It's the same Schar Batola that he takes during the weekdays when he treats a patient. He doesn't get paid salary for treating the patient. I think the whole deal that the Chasam Sofer has in the Tshuva, how is the doctor allowed to take payment, reimbursement for treating the Goyish patients on Shabbos, is only by the Nochrim patients, because the Nochrim, there is no dinam anim bechinam afata bechinam. There's no chiyav hashavas aveda to the nochem. So there the Chasam Sofer says, you got to take the money, you have to give it to tzedakah, you shouldn't be in violation of schar Shabbos. Yeah, so I think, you have what? The schar batola is that he doesn't take a job all year long. So on Shabbos also. So the 1,000 people that this doctor helps, so they're like all shutfim. They all want to pay this doctor. The Jews who live in Philadelphia and Florida, they have no shaykhs with this doctor. So as far as they're concerned, let him go into business. We don't need him. But as far as his 1,000 patients are concerned, so all of those patients pay him. Sach hakol, he figures out how much he would like to have in the course of the year not to take another job. He wants to make X amount of money. And then we divide it up among all the patients. So each patient, each of his 1,000 patients, is paying a chunk of the schar batola for not taking the job all year long. But no one is paying for the surgery or for the treatment that he gave them today. So the patients whom he treats on Shabbos also, there's no issue of schar Shabbos. No one's paying. Even those he treats in the weekdays, they're not paying him for the services rendered. They're paying him for not taking another job. That's schar batola. So I think maybe that's the teretz to this. This is the pilpul that the Rebbe Kiveger and the Chasam Sofer and others all discuss. How is the Jew from the Chevra Kadisha who drives the car, who drives the wagon, the horse and the wagon, and take the dead body to the cemetery, how is he allowed to take salary? It's like delivering Isuri Hanor. The mace is Osam Hanor, so he's getting paid for dealing with Isuri Hanor. Whether it's an Isa Deraisa, Isa Rabbanon, is irrelevant. It's an Isa. It's a form of getting Hanor from Isuri Hanor. So that's the kasha that the yetsa. How can the one who drives a hearse, how can he get paid a salary? So maybe that's the teretz, that since he's doing a mitzvah that he's mechuyev to do, so mikra din is not allowed to take any salary at all, period. It's like a rebbe in a yeshiva, like a rov, like a anotos chalod, anotos chalohoid, anotos chalohazoy. So he's not allowed to take salary for that. So the answer is getting paid schar batola. So schar batola has nothing to do with the, and he's driving the maze for nothing. Strictly speaking, he's driving the maze for nothing.
So what would happen if a Rebbe decided, you know, for the next month I don't want to come in to teach, and then just didn't come in, you know, and then could the school take him to Beis Din? What would the Beis Din do?
The Beis Din will decide that we no longer are interested in paying this guy schar batola. He's not useful for us.
For the past month,
he did wrong. There's a din oros and malachas Hashem remiyo.
That's been out on Lamakum though. That's not left been out on Lachaber.
Okay.
So could they collect? Could they take back a salary? Would they have to pay him?
Probably would be able to take back a salary. The only reason why they pay him schar batala is that he should be free to be able to teach for nothing. But if he's negligent, if he doesn't, if he, let's say he didn't feel well, So they have an arrangement with all of the college faculty, with all the secular faculty, how much sick leave they're entitled to. So with the rabbis, they're not allowed to make such an arrangement because the rabbis are not paid for teaching. The rabbis are paid schar batola. The only thing is if a rabbi's posheya, he doesn't have another job and he doesn't come to teach, so we don't need to give him the schar batola. We're not interested in that. But if the rabbi wasn't well, so then strictly speaking, they can't ask him for the money back. But if he's poshens, and then he's in violation of the deal. The deal was we pay him not to take another job so that he will be free to teach for nothing. But if he was free and he didn't teach for nothing, so he wasn't living up to his agreement.
Shouldn't you say that the schar batala is still considered gram yisrei hanah? Because like the computer guy, I'm paying him the schar batala because he has this specialty of computers, this knowledge of computers.
Yeah.
Here also, like, I'm paying the schar batala, he could be doing someone else's mesim or something. It comes out, it's a grama from the fact that he's bringing the mesim. Okay, I'm paying him schar batala, I'm not paying for actually transferring the debt to people. But he only gets that schar batala because he's doing that action.
And that's already more grama.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe. It's a good point. Okay. Maybe it's still a kasha. That's the kasha that Rabbi Kivegan and Chassam Sefer work on. How's he allowed to get paid money? Okay. So each one has a different suggestion.
Why is the sofer different from the Rebbe? The reason you explained to the sofer that the sofer is allowed to charge is because he considered the guy let go write your own tefillin. So the Rebbe, but you said the Rebbe or the doctor can't say to the student or the patient, go do it for yourself. I mean, the student, so just tell the student, go sit in the basement position when you're ready to learn on the top shiur. So prepare yourself to learn on the top shiur. The Rebbe's not allowed to say that. So
I mean, today that everything is available in print. So I can tell him, just go to the library and read all the books. You'll know everything there is to know. Okay. In the days of the Gemara, the Torah Shebaal Peh was not written down. So the student had no access to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now he has internet access. So now he has access to everything. It's a good point. Maybe. Maybe Taka today is different.
Taka's taking insurance different than taking a salary. Taka's had money from the insurance. Is that considered their schar batala? The example that the Rebbe gave is that's a bunch of people getting together and paying the doctor a certain amount.
Schar batala,
the doctor's charged by services rendered, not necessarily a yearly salary.
Yeah.
They're charging for a service. So is that considered the same schar batala they're doing? The fact that for this 15 minutes I took out of my time in order to see you and give you advice? Or
I think we divide everything up. Sach hakol. The doctor's going to have so many patients all year long, and all of those patients want him not to take on another job because then he won't be free to treat them.
Each patient is paying a different amount based on
the services. Right, so you have to figure out how to divide it. So he divides it whatever they calculate by time, about how sensitive the surgery is or whatever. It's a way to figure out the shutfas, the chelik of the shutfas. Okay. So again, so the Gemara established that there's an Issa Rachila and there's an Issa Hanoah and Basa B'cholim. And Issa Hanoah is not only Hanoah B'guf HaDor, but even Hanoah selling it. Either that's their Issa the Rabbanon. Pashtus says that's their Issa. And even Hanoah delivering on a truck. I'm going to deliver Basa B'cholim on a truck and I'm going to get paid a salary. That's also an Issa. That's called... That's also called getting hanor. That's a shayla whether that is hanor is their isa the rabban. Yeah. The Gemara has in Psochim and the Sugim Psochim. We saw the other day. We saw the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel on base. I think it was. Shaleich Adam Yerach Lenochri. So it says on the side and the right hand margin. It's in Psochim Dapcha base. In the beginning of the second paragraph, the Gemara dedicates a few dafing Gemara to establish which Yisuri Achila. The Gemara that quotes Rabbi Bo. Amar Rabbo, Amar Rablaza, from Ardaf. Kol Mok Mishenem Ola Yochel Lasach La Lasach Echad Yisra Achila Bechad Yisra Hanoah B'Mashma. And then the Gemara runs through various Yisuri Achila, which are Mutabano and some are Rosamano. So the Gemara has to establish, how did you know that these are Mutabano? How do you know these are Rosamano? Why don't you just say everything is Rosamano? So the Gemara quotes Pesukim for everything. How do you know Dam is Mutabano? How do you know Chelav is Mutabano? And so on. So in the middle, the Gemara there quotes the Pesukim about non-kosher animals. So it says, Tamei miyolachem, that bears and lions and tigers and donkeys and horses and mules are non-kosher animals. So Tamei miyolachem. So the Gemara says the word lachem has the connotation lachem shalachem tehei, it's mutabano. But the main yiyu sounds like it's absolutely tamei. You're not allowed to get hanoah from it. So it's a contradiction. On the one hand, you say lachem shalachem tehei, that is mutabano. The other hand, you say from the same phrase in the pasuk tamei yiyu means that you're not allowed to get hanoah from it. So the Gemara says it depends. To be in the non-kosher food business, a fellow's going to have a non-kosher butcher shop, or that's his business. He delivers non-kosher meat all over the world. So that's not permissible. To be in that line, to do schar b'macholas asuras kavua, that's not allowed. But if it's a case of nizdamnu, that's what the Gemara in Pesachim quotes the Mishnah from Masechah Shviyas, of all places. There's a mistake here on the Maran Mekayim, so you should say tzayode chayev yofus. If a person goes fishing dafke for non-kosher fish, he wants dafke to catch non-kosher fish. So that you're not allowed to be in that line of business. But if he goes fishing to catch gefilte fish, and accidentally a shark falls in, a non-kosher thing falls in, so he doesn't have to throw it back into the ocean. He's allowed to take it home. He's allowed to take it home. It's mutabano, so he's allowed to sell. Not allowed to eat it. It's also lachila, but it's mutabano.
That's deraisa derabban.
So that's a big machloikis, whether that's deraisa derabban. So you look in Simen Kuf Yud Zayin and Yeridaya. So the achrayim have a machloikis. By now, it's assumed that it's only the rabban. Most of the achrayim have assumed that it's only the rabban. That the mashmois of this drasha tmeim yihu sounds like it's only an asmachta to distinguish between being in this line of business kavua. As opposed to Nizdamnu, someone called me up on the phone. His father died, and his father had a non-kosher food business. His father died, and his son is a Baal Tshuva. He wants to know, what does he do? So he doesn't have to be mafkirit. He has to sell it as soon as possible. He shouldn't wait another half a year to make more money. It says in Yeriday, you should try to sell it as soon as possible. Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, it's one simen. So that's an important simen. Sometimes you live in difficult times and it's hard to make a living. It's always hard to make a living, not so easy. Especially you look in the Sri Deyesh, in Chelek Yerideya, before the Nazis tortured all the Jews to death, before they killed everybody, so first they cut them out of all parnassas. They couldn't go into this parnassa, that parnassa, that parnassa. There was hardly anything left to make a living. So one of the few things that was left was they should have a shop and sell non-kosher food in the mall, but it has to be open 7 days a week. So how can they keep open 7 days a week? Where do you do Shabbos and Yom Tov? So they had to make a shtar mechira for Shabbos. They had to sell it to a goy. So we always frown upon that. But if you have no parnasa, you got no choice. So the gedolim are mekel in Europe, the Divrei Chaim, the sons of Rav was mekel, and the Sri Deyesh in the middle of the right before the war. So also one of the few parnasas, usually on the tshuvas of the Sri Deyesh, he writes the date of the tshuva. On this date he writes Bishnos Hazam, during the terrible years when the Xeris against the Jewish people. So it was so hard to make a parnasa. So one of the few areas that they were able to make a living was to do Schar b'macholos asuris. So he already assumes that it's only the Rabbanim. Schar b'macholos asuris, only the Rabbanim. That's how Haskamas most of the Achrayim is like that. If it would have been a Din Deraisa, so we wouldn't be looking for flimsy kulas. But because it's the Rabbanon, and it's such a big Shas HaTchak, every so often, if you have a big Shas HaTchak, so they rely on very difficult Tzdorim Lahokam. So he works out different things. So we talk assume that the Yisus Chor B'machol HaSasurus is only the Rabbanon. Let's say a Jew wants to open up a restaurant in Harlem. So if he's going to open up a restaurant here, he's going to sell non-kosher food to Jewish people. So that's Lifnei V'Lisita Mikshel. He's going to open up a restaurant where all of the customers are Nachum. So there's no issue of Lifnei V'Lisita Mikshel. But if he's selling Macholos Asuras, so then it's an Iser. We assume it's only the Rabbanim. Still, there's an Iser. It's Chareb on Macholos Asuras. You're not allowed to deal in Macholos Asuras. What are the Kololim there? It's only one Sif. Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. The whole Simen only has one Sif. It just gives you all the klalim. So the first klal is that Tzchar b'macholos asuris only applies when it's an Issa deraisa. Let's say I have a store where I sell cheeses, non-Jewish cheeses, non-kosher cheeses. Non-kosher cheeses are only non-kosher mid-rabbanon. It's very hard to make a non-kosher cheese that's going to be an Issa deraisa. That would be unusual. You have to have a talent to figure that out. So treif cheese is usually the worst it can be. It's going to be treif mid-rabbanon. So if you sell treifa cheese to goyim, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, was quoting from the Yerushalmi, that's mutter. The Yerushalmi says that tzchor b'macholos asuris, the first rule is only applies to macholos asuris deraisa, doesn't apply to macholos asuris derabbanan. Then Yerushalmi has another klal that Tosfos quotes in Baba Kama and Daf Pei Beis on the base, and the end of Perek Meruba. The other klal is, let's say I'm going to raise horses for the purpose of horse racing. Not to sell the meat. I'm going to go hunting for mink. No one's really interested in eating the mink's flesh. I'm going to hunt for mink, which is an animal, a non-kosher animal, because the fur is worth a lot of money. So that's tchor b'macholos asuris, but it's not for the purpose of achila. No one's interested in eating the flesh of the mink. No one's interested. I'm raising the horses to serve as in races. No one's going to eat the horse meat. So let's say you're raising animals in order to use the hide to make footballs out of or something like that. So since if it's not for the purpose of achilas, for the purpose of some other purpose, so then Tosfos and the Rambam both quote the Shulchan Aruch. They all quote the Yerushalmi that's mutter. That's mutter. Then the Chochmah Masadim already has a chiddush. He adds on. Let's say the hunters who go and they hunt these mink animals, and their main interest really is for the fur, to make fur coats out of it. So since the main interest really is the fur, the flesh is also worth a little money. It's not at all worth what the fur is worth. So as far as the flesh is concerned, they may even sell a flesh that's called nizdamnu. The main purpose in being in this industry is for the fur. That's 95% of the revach, amor. And then the 5% of revach they're going to get from the flesh, he thinks that has the status of nizdamnu. Okay. And then the Rambam has a third kula that's debatable. The Rambam says the third kula is that chaylev is mutter to do schoira in chaylev. Let's say, take for example, all the expensive soaps are, they put in a lot of chaylev. They put in a lot of chaylev from animals. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos, because every time you use the bar of soap, you use up a little bit, obviously, because after you use it for a month, so the bar of soap disappears. So where did it go? So obviously, teretz is that every time you use it, a 1/16 of an inch disappears, or a 1/32 of an inch disappears, whatever. So you had a smooth surface on the bar of soap, then when you use it, so you rub your hands, that's how the Ramah paskins, the Radis or Mekel, but the Ramah says you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos because you're making a new smooth surface. When you use it, it's a little bit, even though it had a smooth surface from before. Usually the halacha of memachek is, if you have a rough surface, let's say I have a piece of wood, and I take sandpaper and I sandpaper it down. So that's memachek. Well, the original memachek is, I have the hide from an animal, has a lot of hair on it, so I rip off all the hair, and I make the hide smooth. So that's memachek. So if I take a rough surface and I make it smooth, that's memachek. What if I take a smooth surface, and I use a 1/16 of an inch, a 1/32 of an inch, and I know that I'm using off part of it, and I'm creating a new smooth surface. So there are more rights that too is awesome. That's also called memachek. Even though you didn't take a rough surface, make it into a smooth surface, you took a smooth surface object and made it have a new smooth surface. That's also called memachek, the Ramah says. So he says, it's also to use a bar of soap on Shabbos, but on weekdays it's permissible, even though the bar of soap has chelev in it. And there's room to dingzach, there's room to argue the point and say, sicha kishtiya, you're not allowed to eat chelev. So the Gemara has a rule, sichi kishtiya, when you rub the chelev into your hand, so it gets absorbed into the pores. So getting absorbed into the pores is considered as if you're eating it. So maybe there should be an issue of sichi kishtiya. So the Ramah says, no, it's not an issue. It's only also to use a bar of soap on Shabbos, even if it doesn't have any chelev, and on the weekdays it's mutter to use a bar of soap, even though it has chelev. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Vilna Gaon is machmeh. He thinks that you should not use a bar of soap because sichi kishtiya. On the weekdays it is also. Why does Ramah say it's mutter? Based on Tosfos. And Tosfos holds that sichi kishtiya only applies if it's a liquid. If it's a solid, it doesn't apply. And secondly, it only applies, sichi kishtiya only applies in two cases, by Yom Kippur and by Truma. Zar Shesach Truma, Shemesh al Truma. And all the other Yisurim, there's no din of sichi kishtiya. The whole din of sichi kishtiya is only mid Rabbanan, and the Pasuk in Tilim is only an Asmachta. And they only introduced the Din Rabbanan by these two cases, by Sicha and Yom Kippurim is Sicha Kishtiya, and as Zar Shesach Shemesh Al Truma is Sicha Kishtiya. And everybody else doesn't apply. The only goyin is chayshish for the other opinion that sichi kishta even applies on a bar of soap. I remember when the stipula passed away, so one of the maspidim, they had, by the funeral, there was only one maspid, that was Rav Shach. And then in Yerushalayim, I happened to be in Yerushalayim then. So in Yerushalayim, they had the haspidim in the outside chotzer of the Yeshiva Eitz Chaim. So they had a few maspidim there. So one of the maspidim was a Talmud of the stipula for many years. He wrote many svarim about him, Horowitz. He was a brother-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, put out five volumes of Orchas Rabbeinu, all the Hanhogas. Every sneeze, whenever the stipler blew his nose, he had his written down in the sefer. How many times he blew his nose, and how many times he went to the bathroom on Yom Kippur, and where did he wash till here? Mom, she didn't let him. He crawled under his bed in his bedroom. He didn't let him have any privacy. It's unbelievable. And he tells all his stories there. The way he asked the stipler, "Did you do this because of this?" And obviously, he didn't want to tell him the truth. And he writes down what he said. The stipler said, "Tear it something." Didn't want to tell him the truth. So he writes everything down as if everything was correct answer. So that he was one of the maspidim. Before he published all of his rhyme, he was one of the maspidim. He was telling over because he loved the stipel of something. He was telling over all kinds of stories. I don't know if they belonged in a hesped. So one of the stories was that the stipel never used a bar of soap because it was choshish for the Vilna Gaon Shita. He could buy inexpensive soap that doesn't have chaylev. The expensive soap has chaylev in it. So let's say there's a Jew who goes, "I'm going to go to all the slaughterhouses where they cut out the chalev. I'm going to buy up all the chalev and I'm going to sell it to a company where they're making soap." Is that schar b'macholos asur? Is that mutar eros? So if I'm buying up the chalev to make soap out of it, so that's not, people don't eat soap. So that's not for the purpose of eating. So Tosfos says that that's mutar. Okay? Tosfos, Yerushalmi, if it's not for the purpose of eating, so there's no issur schar b'macholos asur. Let's say the butcher himself who cuts out the chalev, he's allowed to charge money for it. That's for sure mutter. That's nizdamnu. What do you want him to do? He's not mechayev to throw out the chalev. But the shayla, if I'm going to go to all the stores, I'm going to buy up everybody's chalev. So that's not nizdamnu. I'm going dafka that. But if I'm buying it up in order to use it for soap, so that bechlal, there's no problem. What if I'm buying up all the chalev and I'm going to sell it to a company who makes oil? They're going to make oil out of it for cooking, for eating purposes. So then it should be an issur schar b'macholos asuris. Chalev is osa b'achilim mutar b'anoah. And it's not nizdamna for me. I'm going from butcher to butcher, from slaughterhouse to slaughterhouse, and buying up all the trade for chalev and selling it to a company that's going to make Crisco out of it. They're going to make lard out of it. They're going to use it for cooking purposes. So that should be osur. So Tosfos writes that it's takos. Tosfos and Baba Kama writes, to do schar b'chalev is osur. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, who says not so. The Rambam writes that even though in general there's an issur schar b'macholos asuros, it doesn't apply to chelev because it's a mefurish of pasuk and chumash. Pasuk says v'chelev nevela v'chelev treifa yeyaseh l'chol malacha v'ochol lo sochlu. So since it says mefurish yeyaseh l'chol malacha, you can use it for whatever purpose you want to. Just ochol lo sochlu, just don't eat it. So it says b'feirish in the chumash that it's mutter b'hanoa and it's mutter b'schera. Yasa Lacha Malacha says that you can do whatever you want. The Mutta Bischer. Tosfos writes it's also Bischer. The Achronim point out that Tosfos does not agree with the Rambam. So that's, there's a famous Taz. I think someone looked it up. Sivkat Nalev. Someone looked it up the other day. Famous Taz on Simon Kuf. Where is it? Kuf Yud Zayin on that Simon. He discusses the topic whether Schar B'Macholos Asuris is an Issa Derais and Issa Derabanan. Today, as I say, this radiation doesn't even go into the discussion. He assumes that they were poshut, that the whole issur is only the rabban. But in the days of the Taz, it was still being debated. It was still a machlokes among the achren. So some wanted to prove in this Rambam that the Rambam holds beferish that it's an issur deraisa. If schar b'macholos asuris is only an issur de rabbanon, so in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, so of course he's going to say, yosel lochom malacha gizuntahed, you can do schar with anything. The whole Issa Schar B'Macholos Asuris is introduced after Matan Torah. So how does the Rambam prove from the Pasuk, Yosel L'chol Malacha, that no Issa Schar B'Macholos Asuris by Chelev? In our Torah there's no Issa Schar B'Macholos Asuris by Behemoth Tmeya either. The whole thing was an invention of the Chachamim in the days of the Tanoim. The Mishnah Shviyas has it. Before the days of the Tanoim, they didn't have it. So don't you see from the Rambam that we're dealing with an Issa Deraisa? Schar B'Macholos Asuris is really an Issa Deraisa. And here by Chalev, there's an exception to the rule. The Pasuk says that it's Mutter. So the Taz says he doesn't think that that's a Hechochem. That's a famous Taz. Taz says, he doesn't think that the Rambam necessarily meant that. The Olam could be the Rambam holds, like his opinion, like Roy Bachrenim, that Tzchara B'Macholos HaSuris is only an Issa de Rabbanon. But he postulates a klal, the Taz postulates a klal, and he says he puts it into the Rambam's Loshen. He says the Rambam probably thinks that the Chachamim had no right to make Gzera de Rabbanon keneged Dova HaMufurish BaTorah. That's what the Taz writes in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. He has a Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in Simen Kuf Yud Zayin refers you, he cross-references the other Tazim. So the Taz in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach, why did the Chachamim only prohibit blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos? Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu Dal Aramis, they should have prohibited blowing shofar on every Rosh Hashanah because Mashmiah Kol is Gzeir Hashem Yisakin Klei Shir. You're not allowed to play any musical instrument. So why is it ever mutter to blow shofar? They should prohibit Tkiah shofar, period. So the Taz quotes from the Bach, they can't do that. They can't make Gzeir Darabana Keneged Dovah Mefurish Batorah. It says in Torah you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say explicitly that you have to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. That's not mefurish. That's self-understood. Why not? There's no malacha involved. Tkiya shofar is not a malacha. So min haTorah, of course, you blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. But mid Rabbanan, they have a right to prohibit tkiya shofar but Rosh Hashanah shechol is b'Shabbos. But to prohibit all tkiya shofar because of Mashmiya Kol, that they didn't have the ability to do that because you cannot make, that's the chiddush of the Taz, you cannot make a gzera derabbana keneged dava hamafurish batar. A whole group of achrenim go along with this idea. Then they point out, if you look in Rishonim, Tosfos in 20 places deals with it. So 10 times Tosfos says like the Taz, and 10 times Tosfos says Bechir is not like the Taz. It's a deal in Rishonim already, but there is such a klal. So it's an important topic to know. Schorei b'macholos asur. So let's say I want to open up, people call up the OU for all kinds of shilas. I remember a few times people called up, they wanted to open up a restaurant in a non-kosher area, a non-Jewish area where they're going to sell non-kosher food. So you're not allowed to be in the business of selling non-kosher food there, I said. You're allowed to sell non-kosher food there, Rabbanan. Gvina Sakram. You're not going to make too much of a living because all he's going to sell is going to be Gvina Sakram. So he wants to sell Nevelis at Treifus. So that's also, you're not allowed, even though it's mutabanah, but it's also to do schar b'macholos asuris. If he's selling to non-Jews, he doesn't have to sell glat kosher l'mahadra. If he has kosher meat, it doesn't have to be glat kosher. He can sell kosher meat to the non-Jews. That's fine. But to sell meat that's also min ha-Torah, that he's not allowed to do schar b'macholos asuris. Shalas, let's say he's going to have a restaurant and all the food is going to be kosher. All the meat is going to be kosher. So then a nocher is going to say, I want you to fry my chicken in butter. So we have to learn the Mishnah. It says in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter. There's no way it's a bishul. Bishul basa b'chalav is only on meat and milk. To cook chicken and milk is mutter, even with the Rabbanim. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanayim where the chicken and milk is basa b'cholav deraisa basa b'cholav derabbanan. If it's an isa basa b'cholav deraisa, so it's an isa to cook it. It's going to be asa b'ano. But the way we pasken in Yeridaya, the accepted opinion is that chicken and milk is only basa b'cholav derabbanan. So it's only asa b'achila and it's muta b'bishul and muta b'ano. So that he can do. So if he'll have kosher chickens, he'll be allowed to fry them in butter. He'll be allowed to fry them and cook the chicken with the milk. Yeah, but what he's going to only have, he's going to only have a place, he's only going to sell chickens. Maybe he'll make a living with that. Okay, sell kosher chickens, doesn't have to be glatt kosher. Sell kosher chickens, and he's allowed to fry the milk. Mutta bebishol, mutta banor, that won't be a problem. So what if he's going to have a place where they're going to cook fleishiks and milchiks? So let's say he'll be careful never to cook the basa b'cholov together. So he'll never violate bishol basa b'cholov, and he won't be getting hanor from the basa b'cholov. If you cook meat and milk together, so it becomes a basa b'cholav deraisa, so that's asa b'hano. Let's say he'll have kelim, and sometimes he'll cook fleishiks, have one frying pan. So you can't make ham and eggs for breakfast for the goyishe customers, that's schor b'macholos asur, it's not allowed to. So let's say he'll have chicken and milk, chicken and butter he'll be allowed to do, and meat he'll cook separately, he won't cook meat in together with milk. That's an isa bishul basa b'cholav, it's an isa hano, won't do that. But can he use the milchik pots to cook the fleishig meat? See, we're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to cook meat in a milchik pot. are not allowed to cook milk in a fleshik pot. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? If that's an isa d'oraisa, it's basa b'cholav d'oraisa. So there's an isa bishul and then there's an isa hanoh. So the guy's stuck. So he cannot, if he wants to have a store where he's going to sell food to the non-Jews, so he's going to have two separate pots and pans. Has to only sell kosher meat. He can't sell treif meat. And he has to have separate kelim for flesh, separate kelim for milchiks. So he's going to go broke. That's like saying, he may as well have a kosher restaurant, charge more money. What is he gain by having a non-kosher restaurant? The only shaila is, if he'll have one set of pots and pans, and he'll be careful never to cook meat with milk. Chicken and milk, he's allowed to cook together. That's the first sif in Shulchan Aruch. We'll have to learn where the Shulchan Aruch got it from. It's a Mishnah Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting. The bottom Mishnah Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So that won't be a problem. Let's say he wants to cook fleishiks for his goyish customers, kosher fleishiks, but not blood kosher. He'll cook the fleishiks and the milchiks in the same pot, but never together, b'zach hazeh. So that's a big machloikas, the Darkei Tshuva. And Siman Pei Zayin quotes a machloikas achroinim. Is that considered bishul basa b'cholav deraisa? Is that only the Rabbanan? Basa b'cholav deraisa, the Gemara uses the lashon derech bishul lasa Torah. Torah prohibits you from cooking meat and milk together when the milk is going to give time into the meat is going to give time into the milk. You're cooking fleshiks in a milchik pot, milchiks in a fleshiks pot, there will be a bliyah. Obviously, if you want to have the flavor of milk in the meat, you're going to pour in some milk and you're going to fry it with butter, you're going to do something. By cooking the flesh in a milchik pot, you're not going to accomplish too much of a flavor of the milchiks into the fleshiks. So that's the machlekes achrenim, is that a nisa derais and nisa derabban? So if one would have assumed that would have been an Issa Derabbanan, so then there wouldn't have been an Issa Bishul, there wouldn't have been an Issa Hano. So the guy can open such a restaurant. He'll be careful, he has to always serve kosher meat. He can't cook the meat with the milk, he can cook the chickens with the milk. And it's Muta Bebishul Muta Bano. And the meat and the milk, he can cook in the same pots, Bezech Hazeh, just has to wash it out in between, make sure that he's not cooking fleshiks and milchiks mamish bevasachas. So that's if that would have been the Derabbanan. I would have thought that it's only the Rabbanan. But you look in the Darkei Tshuva, if I would have been entitled to an opinion, I would have said it's only the Rabbanan. But they didn't give me an opinion over here. So all the big guns say not so. All the Prima Gadim and the Crazy Place and all the big Achrenim, all the famous Achrenim, they all say that that's an Issa Basa B'chol of their Issa. To cook flesh in a milchik pot, and milchiks in a fleshik pot, most of the Achrenim hold that constitutes an Issa der Issa. So you're in violation of the Issa Bishul if you cook fleshiks in a milchik pot. And then it'll be asa b'ano, so he won't be able to sell it to the customer and make money on it. So it's nagel la'alocha. You got to know what's basa b'chol of the raisa, what's basa b'chol of the rabbanon. Okay, so nochama, we started on kuf yudal on the base where Rabashi is giving the mocker. Minayin le'basa b'chol shosa b'achila, v'secho kol te'yevah. And then he says, how do you know it's even also about? No, because of Rabbi Bo's memory. Then the Gemara Geita Beka, hold on with Kuf Tezvavim and Aleph. Why not have other applications of L'Sechel Kol Te'eva? So we discussed some of them. We didn't discuss all of them. Then we saw Kuf Tezayin Omid Aleph. There is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that Basa B'chalav is Mutabano. We don't accept his opinion. Just like on Chomis B'Pesach, there's the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Glili. We don't accept his opinion either. All the Mishnayos all over say the Basa B'chalav is also Bano. Fine, that's the accepted opinion. Then you have the Bei Rebbe Shmuel Tana. Different Tanoim and different Amoraim, each one has a different marker to establish this din that Basa B'chalav is also Bachila and also Bano. So you have Reish Lakish on the bottom of Amud Aleph gives his own drasha. The bottom of Kuf Tezvav and Aleph. Then you go to Amud Beis, more Tanoim. The famous drasha is on Amud Beis. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. That you have three psukim. It says three times L'Sevashel Diba Chalevi. Moi. Why does it repeat the same Misa three times? So the answer is one goes on Bishul, Pshuta Shal Mikra. The second one, Amenu in Yil Bishul Tenehi in Yil Achila. And the third one, Amenu in Yil Achila Tenehi in Yil Hanoa. And that's how we know that there are three Isurim. This became so famous. That's why Rashi Achumish quotes that the three psukim of Lo Sevashel Gdei B'Chalevi Moi are teaching us the three prohibitions. You look in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam doesn't list it as three lavin. The Rambam only lists it as two lavin. One lav for Bishul and one lav for Achila. What happened to Hanor? He quotes Hanor as an Issa Deraisa, but the Rambam explains. The Rambam explains that whenever you have something that's Asabanor, let's say Klai Kerem is Asabanor, Orla is Asabanor, Sharaniskal is Asabanor, so it starts off as an Issa Achila, the different kinds of Isuri Hanor. Let's say Avodah Zarah is Asabanor, it doesn't start off as Macholas Asuris. Let's say the Nochri worships a totem pole. So it's not that it's Asabachila. It's not Macholas Asuris. It starts off Avodah Zarah, it's Asabanor. Misham Shi Avodah Zarah, Asabanor. It doesn't start off as an Issa Achila. Hegdish. Someone donates a building to Hegdish. Hegdish is Asabanor. Doesn't have to start off as an Issa Achila. Hegdish, the Issa Mila Behegdish and the Issa Avodah Zarah start off as an Issa Hanor. Then you have, the Rama has a section called Hilchas Macholas Asuris in the Mishnah Torah. So he lists off Chela Vidam in the Beilus of Trefus Arasa Bachila Mutabanda. And then he has Orlok, Lea Kerem, Basa Bachala, Chams Bepesach, a whole bunch of things are Asabano. But it's as Macholas Asuris, it's Asabano. Starts off as an Isra Achila, and the Isra Achila extends to become an Isano. So the Rambam says that's why he's not going to count it as a separate lav. It's not that it has a separate Isra Hanoa. There are two lavim. One is a bishul. The three psukim. The Rambam also adopts the position of Rabbi Shmuel. He doesn't quote this Lasechel Kol Teyeva. He quotes Rabbi Shmuel, but they're like Rashi and Chumash quotes the three psukim. But he says the three psukim boil down to two lavim. One lav on the bishul, one lav on the achila. And this basa b'chola belongs to that category macholas hasuris. That it's not only osa b'achila, it's even osa b'hanol. The main afgemina that there are two different types. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos has a famous Dvar Torah, which is quoted here in Yerideya. The Dogel Mervava are the comments of the Nadi Behuda on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. So here the Dogel Mervava and Simon Pei Zayin, Siv Gimel, quotes this Rambam. This is a famous Rambam. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos was written in Arabic, and then it was translated into Hebrew. And the one who wrote the translation writes that he doesn't really know Arabic so well, so he hopes he did a good job. So that's what it was assumed for several centuries, that he wrote that out of humility. And then Rabbi Kappach, who just passed away a few years ago, writes, no, not out of humility. He really didn't know Arabic so well. So every so often he made a major mistake, and he made a new translation. Chaim Heller before him made, a long time ago, made a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaHaRambam. And they say that the Chofetz Chaim said, after Rab Chaim Heller printed his new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rab Chaim Heller said, you're not allowed to use the old one, Al Tashkim Balecha Avlo, the Gemara says in Ksubis, you're not allowed to be Masha Sefer Shena Muga around the house. You have a Sefer that has mistakes in it, so you're not allowed to use it. So the Chofetz Chaim said, you're not allowed to use, that's what they say, you're not allowed to use the old translation, Rab Chaim Heller says full of mistakes, you have to use the new one. Okay. So the translator, every so often when the Rambam writes in Arabic, there's a fascinating point over here. So in translation, in Hebrew, he writes, Yesh bazen nukuda niflo, a fascinating point. So the Rambam has it in a few places, but there's only one that's famous, the nukuda haniflo. He has the expression in a few places in the translation of the Pirush HaMishnayos, but this is the famous nukuda niflo. Increases in the third parak, increases on the Mishnah, but the Rambam is talking about a topic that we would never have thought when we study Gemara, we would never have thought that it's ever going to be negeh to us halach l'maisa. The topic of Yisr Chalalis. Gemara talks about Yisr Chalalis. A guy eats some tray for food, and he's done. How many averas did he do? How many times does he get malchus? Or Yisr Chalalis, he did an avera. He lives with his mother-in-law. So the mother-in-law is an eshesish, and she's also chamoso. So which punishment do we give him? Chamoso is an Yisr Sreifa. Ishabita, Srefa, and Ashish is Chenek. So which punishment does he get? So the question is, well, which was she first? Was she, if I marry a girl whose mother is married, so first she was an Ashish, my mother-in-law was an Ashish. Then when I marry the daughter, she becomes an Ashish, Manasseh Chamoso. Let's say I married a girl whose father is not alive, or the parents are divorced. So then, and after I marry the girl, then the mother-in-law remarries. So she was first Chamosa, then Nasas Eshesish. So the Gemara says it depends whether it's Chamosa and Nasas Eshesish, or Eshesish and Nasas Chamosa. What's the difference? Which Einish Misa did they get? Or he was Mezana with the mother-in-law, B'shoigig, how many Chatos is he chai? One Chatos or two Chatos? So we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, nobody's getting any Mrs. Bez, nobody's getting any Malkus. So we usually think that the sugya of Yisachal Alisa, any Yisachal Alisa, the whole sugya is not relevant halacha l'maisa. Comes Nadi Bihuda, in a few places he has in his chuvas also. Comes Nadi Bihuda here, and Simon Peizani says, very relevant halacha l'maisa. When you buy the dog food, for those of you who have dogs, when you buy the dog food, so a lot of the dog food is basa b'cholov. They take nevela meat, they don't take kosher meat. They take nevela meat and they cook it in milk, and they sell it to you. And you feed it to your dogs. So if it's basa b'cholav deraisa, then it's also b'ano. If it's not basa b'cholav deraisa, if it's only basa b'cholav derabbanan, like chicken and milk, so then the Shulchan Aruch says in the first sif, based on the Mishnah we said, the bottom Mishnah here, whatever it was there, that'll be muta b'ano. So the shad is about the dog food. So what do they cook exactly? So they don't cook geshachten meat, they take nevela meat. So what's the din? If you take meat that's nevela and you cook it in milk, would you say ein isa chal al isa? The isa basa b'cholav cannot be chal on top of the isa nevela, or should you say that isa is chal al isa? That basa b'cholav can be chal on top of the isa nevela. So this is a discussion in the Gemara on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes Amar Shmuel. It says three times Los Vashag Libel Chalev Imo. So it says three times the word Gedi, and it says three times the word Imo, and it says three times the word Chalev. So he's going to make Miyutim and Ribuyim. The fact that it says three times Gedi teaches you three different dinim. The fact that it says three times Imo teaches you three different dinim. The fact that it says three times Chalev, Chalev Imo, three times. The only thing is that he makes 6 drushes on the word Gedi. So the Gemara is going to ask, but there are only 3 Gedis. How did it come out with 6 drushes? The Gemara is going to say, 3 of them he knows on his own without any drusha, and 3 of them he really needs a pasuk. So that's also going to be a pilpul in the Gemara. Why did they need a pasuk for this? Why did they need a pasuk for that? Okay. So that's how the Gemara begins. Amar Shmuel is 10 lines from the top. On Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis, Amar Shmuel, Gedi l'rabbe says ha-chelev. Even if you cook chelev, chelev is also b'achila anyway. Chelev is fleshik. So if you cook chelev b'cholav, you're in violation of basa b'cholav. Gedi l'rabbe says ha-meso. Have nevela. That's the dogma of Abba, the dog food. They take nevela meat and they cook in the milk. Gedi l'rabbe says ha-shlil. You take an uber b'mei ima. If you shech the mother, then it would have been a ben pekuah. That's what we call a ben pekuah. If you shech the mother, then there's an uber inside. So here, let's say I take a shlil, there's an uber inside. It was l'kola l'chadoshev. Adain l'kola chadoshev. Didn't have a full-term pregnancy. The two, by human beings, the pregnancy is a 9-month pregnancy. By behemoths, the Gemara said there's a behemoth daka and a behemoth gasa. Behemoth daka has a 5-month pregnancy, and behemoth gasa has a 9-month pregnancy. So if it's l'kola l'chadoshev, so it's not yet called the behemoth, it's not yet called the behemoth rachaya, but nonetheless, a shtik flesh it is. It doesn't have to be a behemoth rachaya. It is, in order to be oivran isa chelev, let's say, so the Gemara says it has to be chadoshim garmilei. Everyone agrees. Has to be a full-term pregnancy. If you have an uber inside a cow, and you take it out, then it's not going to survive, and you cut out the chelev, so you only be oivran nevela. You won't be oivran an isa chelev. Only has an isa chelev. Chelev is only also if it's a behemoth. If it's a chaya, there's no isa chelev. And only it gets the title of behemoth if it's kol lechadoshim, if it had a full-term pregnancy. That's a Gemara. You have to have chadoshim garmele. If it doesn't have the full-term pregnancy, the behemoth daka is 5 months, the behemoth gasa is 9 months. So if it didn't have a full-term pregnancy, it's not yet called the behemoth. So one might have argued the point, it's not called the behemoth, so how can it be basa b'cholav? So the answer is, it doesn't have to be behemoth, it doesn't have to be a chaya, flesh. Flesh it is. So shlil is fleshing. So you have a pasuk, gedil rabbi says ha-shlil. When a baby is born, either a baby human being or a baby behemoth, so there's a shilya. The shilya is the embryonic sac that it comes in. So is the sac also fleshing? So he says no. Gedi lahotzia sa shilya. That shilya doesn't count. The shilya, this quote in here every day, that if you cook the uber, the fetus, you cook the flesh of the uber with milk, that's a basa b'chol of the raisa. But if you cook the embryonic sac with milk, that's not considered fleshing. Okay. Gedi lahotzia sa dam. Let's say I take dam from a behemoth and I cook it with milk. So do you say dam is a liquid form of flesh? and you cook dam with milk is basa b'cholav. Let's say I have schmaltz. Let's say I cooked flesh and I have a lot of fleshig schmaltz, saturated with juice from the meat. And then I cook the schmaltz with milk. So that's basa b'cholav deraisa. Why not? Unless you say ein bishel ahabishel, we said yesterday, maybe since the schmaltz was cooked already, even though I didn't make it yet into basa b'cholav, maybe you can say that the not over on bishel because it already was mevushel before. But if you leave out that svar, that's in Hilchas Shabbos, we have such a rule. Ein bishel ahabishel. But over here, if you assume that that rule doesn't apply, so let's say take schmaltz and you cook it with milk, so that's real bishel basa b'cholav. But if you take dam, you don't say dam is a liquid form of flesh. If you have schmaltz that's in a liquid form and you cook it with milk, that'll be basa b'cholav deraisa. If you have dam and you cook it with milk, that's not basa b'cholav deraisa. That's the story that they tell about Rab Chaim. The Rab Chaim married off one of his children, and he didn't invite Rab Lezer Telzer to the wedding, because at that time they were in the middle of a machlokes. Rab Lezer Telzer felt that the Aguda should publish its own newspaper, because if you don't have your newspaper, so then you don't have hashpah on people. Rab Chaim was afraid you're going to publish a newspaper, it's going to turn out to be Lashon Hara. All newspapers, kemat all the newspapers, just have Lashon Hara. You don't sell newspapers if you don't write Lashon Hara. Today, there are a couple of newspapers, they're unusually nizah not to write any Lashon Hara. It's like the magazines, they're not newspapers. But if you have a newspaper, it has to have schmutz in it. So Rab Chaim was opposed. So he didn't want to invite Rab Lezer Telzer because he was mechuluk with him. Rab Lezer Telzer came uninvited to the wedding. And he said, shook Rab Chaim's hand, and he said, he understands that you didn't send me an invitation because I live so far, I live in Telz. So you don't say, the Rambam quotes the Din thing anymore. You don't invite a person if you know he can't come anyway because it's Gneva's Das. You fool them, I'm going to insist, please eat by me, as if I'm such a friendly guy. I know you can't eat by me. You have to go somewhere else today. So that's Gneva's Das. So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to invite a person. Gemara says, you're not allowed to invite a person if you know he's not going to come anyway. So you're not allowed. So he said, Rab Lezer Telzer said he knew why he wasn't invited. So he said he assumes that the reason why he didn't get an invitation was because he lived so far, he wouldn't be coming anyway. But I happened to be in the neighborhood anyway, which wasn't true. I happened to be in the neighborhood anyway, so I assumed that if you would have known I'm going to be there, you would have certainly invited me. So he was mechaber him, Rab Chaim was mechaber Rab Lezer Telzer to be Masada Kiddush by the wedding. Even though he disagreed with him on this political issue of the newspaper, but the Aguda. But he felt that he was such a great Oyev Torah. He was the greatest Oyev Torah of that generation. So Rab Lezer tells her when he went back to Telz, so they used to make fun of each other's Derech Halimut. There used to be different drachim. Now it's the brisk is not brisk and the Telz is not Telz. Everything is different. But then it used to be very different. So the Telz used to make fun of the brisk Derech and the brisk used to make fun of the Telz Derech. So when he came back to Telz, they said they shouldn't make fun of the brisk Derech. The brisk Rav knows how to paskin. He knows how to learn well. Rab Chaim knows how to learn well. Why? What happened? A Shaila came up, and Rab Chaim knew how to paskin properly. So they said, Chachamim said, tell us the Shaila, and we'll tell you the right answer. So he told them the Shaila was, they didn't have a caterer to cook all the food. So they had each balabuster cook the flesh in her home, as much as she could cook. And then he came to the wedding, said they were going to serve everything on the various tables. Some people do that today also, by bris, but you know, everybody cooks a shevabach, everybody cooks a little bit and they bring it together. So one of the balabastas who was cooking flesh happened to have a piece of trefa flesh. The shechta and animal, they found that it had a trefa. So what do you do if you have a trefa on the veil? So people who have animals, pets, so sometimes you buy the trefa to feed it to the pet. So apparently one of the women had a cat. Cats eat meat. I think that's how the story goes. One of the families had a cat, so they bought a piece of trefa meat from the butcher shop. He told them it's trefa. They had it on the side. They're going to feed it to the cat. And then when they were cooking the meat for the wedding, so the maid, they had a Jewish maid, so the maid by mistake didn't realize that that was the trefa meat. So she took the trefa piece of meat and she threw it into the pot where all the meat was cooking for the wedding. So when the Baba Buster came into the kitchen and she started looking for the trefa piece of meat, so she asked the maid, what happened to the piece of meat? So she said, I put it into the pot. So she started to scream, oh, Gavald, that was trefa meat. So she took it out. She could recognize which the trefa piece of meat was. Took it out and she threw it in the garbage and she fed it to the cat, whatever the story. Got rid of it. No more trefa piece of meat. So now the Shaila was, whether you have shishim against it. You cook trefa meat. It was sitting there for a while. You cook trefa meat together with kosher meat. So you have to calculate to see how big was this piece What's the volume of the other pieces? But the piece of meat was already gone. She already fed it to the cat that was thrown out in the garbage. So what do you do if you have a suffix shishim? That was the shaila. So the tells us that it's an often a din in Shulchan Aruch that meat and meat is min b'minoy. So min b'minoy, the need for shishim, we'll get to that. We didn't start it yet. We didn't even scratch the surface yet on that. So the din is that min b'minoy, the need for shishim, is only mid the rabbanon. So the have a suffix, you don't know whether you have shishim or not because the piece of meat disappeared. So suffix shishim is muta, suffix the rabbanon lakula. So Rabbi Leizer tells us said, that's all. So he said, oh, we'll think some more. So they thought, they said, Mistama, the ingenious Einfall was that the Balabasta only used to salt the meat that she's going to feed to the family. She didn't salt the meat that she's going to feed to the cat. So the meat must have had blood in it. So the blood is Mimbishena Minai with the kosher flesh. And Mimbishena Minai, the need for Shishim is Minatora. That's a din of Tamkika Deraisa. So the Abasafik Shishim, it's an Isa Deraisa. So Blazer tells us, said, that's all. So I said, well, think another minute. So they thought another minute. They said, no, it's wrong, because there's a machlekes in the Gemara Menachos. It's here in Kol Abasa. What's the din of dam shebishloi? The pasuk says you're not allowed to eat dam. So what if the dam was cooked? Let's say you have a piece of meat, you didn't salt it, and you cooked it the way it is. So how serious is the Isa dam shebishloi? So here it's on Kuf Tes Amid Aleph. It comes up in Chulin. The bottom line in the Mishnah, it says, if you have the lave, if you have the heart of an animal, and you didn't remove the blood, you cooked it the way it is, so it says, Eino Eiver Olav, you don't get Malkus. So the question is, why not? So there's a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, quote the two different Mishnah. One Pshat is because you have less than a Kazayis. You only get Malkus if you eat a Kazayis, and the lave only has less than a Kazayis. Lave of an oaf has less than a Kazayis of dam. And Tosfos says that the maskon of the Gemara is not because ain't over all of the Gemara is in Zvachim and Menachos Daf Chafalav. The maskon of the Gemara is ain't over all of is not because we're talking about the lave of an oaf. We're talking about the lave of a behemoth has a kazayis. The reason why ain't over all of is not you don't get malchus because we pask on the dam shebishla is only the rabbon. He said dam derais is only dam sheina mevushal. Once it's cooked, it's only dam shebishloi. So it's lav derais. We'll have to learn why. Okay, we'll have to discuss why. So they said, Viter, even though there's dam, even though they didn't salt it, then there's dam, and dam should be mimishenemina with the meat. She really needs shishim in atarish, and it's a suffix shishim, so it should be a suffix deraisa lechumra. So they said, Mistama, that was the chachma, that was the kunz, that dam shebishl is only the rabbanon. So it's Viter, since the whole need for shishim is only the rabbanon, it was a suffix shishim, so it's muta. So Blazer tells us, said, that's all. So they thought, and they thought, and they thought, and they said, that's all. So he said, that's what you have to be brisker up. So Rab Chaim said, dam shebishla is the rabbanon if it's dam from a kosher behema. But if it's dam from a trefa behema, he said, has an addition to the isa dam, has an isa trefa. So the isa trefa doesn't go off when you cook it. When you cook dam, I label it as moil habasa. That's when you salt meat. So you succeed in removing every drop of blood. Much of the blood goes out, a lot of the blood remains behind. So the halacha declares that the blood that remains behind is considered mohel habasa. It's considered the juice of the meat. What Tosfos says a few times, it's quoted in Yerudeya, Tosfos shows from the Gemara, that if you have dam ivarm shalopir, which I have a piece of raw meat, and I didn't salt it at all. So if you want to eat it the way it is, that's perfectly okay. The dam in the capillaries, the dam ivarm shalopirish is mutter, it's called mohel habasa. It's called part of the basa. So dam shebishlo is also declared as moel habasa. That's muta. But that's only dam shebishlo takes off the isa dam. But it doesn't take off the isa trefa. So since it's an isa trefa, that's an isa deraisa, it's mimishen amino, it's dam with the flesh, and you can't calculate whether you have shishim, you have no way to determine whether you have shishim, so suffix shishim is deraisa. So the Chachmei Tel said, but it's against an offen etaisis. Because Tosfos proves in Sanhedrin, the Avdala and the Manalef, and the Pesachim, the same Tosfos appears. Tosfos says that dam is not bechlal basar, that dam doesn't have the proof in the Gemara, that dam from a nevela only has an isa dam, it doesn't have an isa nevela. So what are you telling me, that dam over here, in addition to the isa dam, has an isa trefa? So Rav Leizer tells us, said, when Rav Chaim said it, they jumped on him also, and they asked him. So Rav Chaim answered, no, this was a trefa, this wasn't a nevela. He said, there's a difference. When you do a shechita improperly, the animal drops dead, so it's an isa nevela. So the dam The only din is that Bisar Nevela is awesome. The Dam is not Basa. Dam is not Bechal Basa. So the only Yisr you're going to have on the Dam of a Nevela is going to be Nisa Dam. It's not going to be an Yisr Nevela. Because Dam is not Bechal Basa. But Dam of a Trefa, the animal was, they shechted the animal properly. Turned out that it had a Trefas on it. So the milk that comes from a behemoth that's a Trefa is also. Anything that's manufactured by a Trefa, Hayotzim and Haaser is also. So Abchaim said that the Dam that's developed every day, the body keeps on developing more and more dam. The other dam is used up and then new dam is developed. So the dam that's developed by an animal that's a trefa is a yotzim and haser aser. So in addition to the iser dam that it has, true dam shebishla takes off the iser dam, but it's still going to have an iser trefa. It doesn't have to be basar. Dam is not bechal basar. In order to have an iser nevela, it has to be besar nevela. Because dam is not bechal basar, so it has no iser nevela. But an iser trefa it can have, because the yotzim and haser is aser. So that's what Blazer tells us, said, you have to be riskerov in order to know how to pass. Truth of the matter is that the Prima Godim has a checklist. Whenever a Balabas comes with a Shaila, so he says you have to ask the following questions. He has every single step that I just mentioned is on the list of questions. So the Moifis was there, Rab Chaim knew the Prima Godim. Apparently Rab Blazer tells us didn't know the Prima Godim. He has a checklist that you have to ask. Is there shishim? Is it a suffix shishim? Is it dam shebishloi? Is it a nevela? Is it a treif? And he has every single step. Every single step. He says when the balabasta comes with a shayla, he's supposed to ask all of these questions. So again, in this gemara, okay, we just started. We'll have to continue with Lineta on Sunday. You have to go through this gemara and learn the topic of isa chalal isa and how it's relevant to basa b'cholam. Okay, we'll continue on Sunday. What time do we learn on Sunday?
11:30.
11:30. Thank you.